And welcome to Grace Hour. I'm Pastor Steve Androlonis with you today on this Wednesday. We're a totally online operation at this point in our history. With me today, Pastor Sturge Gorham. We'll be talking about the Psalms. Now, we titled this. Now, I know that you got some interesting comments on this about the Psalms and how we feel, because the Psalms do address all of the feelings that human beings might have. And so there's 150 Psalms that are there, and they cover the whole range of emotions and feelings. Right, Pastor? Yep. So we were thinking that perhaps if you're listening and you have a phone handy, you really could call in and tell us what psalms serve you best. That would be a way that we could do today's program. You could call or post your comments. It's better if you call, of course, because then we have like an interaction going on with us. But we'd love to hear what you think. What psalm is a psalm that you really turn to in certain situations? And so Pastor Sturge and I are going to go back and forth a little bit and talk about some psalms that affect us. And I think one of the emotions maybe that people struggle with in terms of, is it really a spiritual emotion? That's a good question. Are emotions spiritual or not? I guess the way that we entertain them determines whether they are spiritual or not. But one emotion that really gets some attention in Psalms is anger. Have you ever been angry? That's a good question. Let me give you the phone numbers, and then I'll talk about it in a moment. The phone numbers, if you want to call and share about Psalms to us, 1-800-338-7060, toll-free number in North America. And locally here in Baltimore and around the world, we use this number, 410-483-3700. When you call, our operator will ask you some questions about what you want to talk about. And that's important for us so that we can keep the conversation going in the right direction. So we just want to remind you that the Grace Hour does archive every program that we produce. And you can find that at Apple Music, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Audible, Google Podcast, and Stitcher. Got to say that carefully, Stitcher. You can find us on these platforms and other places. You can subscribe there. You can fill in your email address, and you'll get a copy of the Grace Hour broadcast delivered to you. And so all the most recent episodes. And of course, you can stay connected also, YouTube, Facebook, and of course, our website, gracehour.org. Everything's there. In fact, all of the programs that have been broadcast over the past decades are there for you to look at, gracehour.org. That has an archive of our program, so you can listen to anything. Okay, so anger. All right, so what's the psalm that typifies or gives voice to how we feel? Have you ever wanted somebody dead? I mean, what do you think? Have you ever wanted somebody? I mean, there's a lot of people who are thinking about the way things are going in the world, and I'm sure they wished that a certain figure would sort of just go away, you know, however that would happen. But there is a psalm for that, and it's Psalm 109. And it is something that, you know, it's attributed to David, and he's talking about an enemy. He's talking about somebody in verse 5 who has rewarded him evil for good and hatred for his love. And then it turns into this kind of expression of his agitation and frustration. It says, "Set a wicked man over him. Let Satan stand at his right hand." You're so angry with a person that you want the devil to be right by his side. When he shall be judged, let him be condemned. Let his prayer become sin. Boy, these are strong words. Wow, let his days be few. Let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless. Let his wife be a widow. That's the dead part, of course. And let his children be continually vagabonds and beg. Let them seek their bread out of desolate places. Let an extortioner catch all that he has, and let the stranger spoil his labor. This is the word of God, everybody. This is the word of God, and you can express these things. Let there be none to extend mercy to him, neither let there be any to favor his fatherless children. Let his posterity be cut off, and in the generation following, let their name be blotted out. Let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered. Wow. Wow. That's a lot of. And why is he praying this? Well, he's saying, verse 16, because this man or this enemy never remembered to show mercy, and he persecuted the poor and needy, and he slew the broken in heart. And as he loved cursing, let cursing come to him. And as he delighted not in blessing, so let blessing be far from him. So this is the way that David expressed the kind of frustration he was feeling with people who were abusing the poor and needy. And in verse 22, he says, I am poor and needy. I am poor and needy. And that's the thing. So can you frame a prayer this way? Apparently you can. This is the prayer book of the Lord. And if you're feeling angry, you can go to this passage and you express it. Now, I just expressed it all over the world on the internet. I just read things like this, and you know, this is a lot of, you know, this is a lot of pent up feeling that David spilled out. But if you're going to spill this kind of thing out, it's better to spill it out before the Lord. And you can use these words that God has given us. But we got to understand that in verse 21 is maybe the key to the whole element to this. It says, do thou for me, O God the Lord, for your name's sake, because your mercy is good, deliver thou me. Deliver thou me. This is the thing that David lands on. Even in his anger, even in these kinds of prayers that he prays, in this, you know, very strong kind of, they're called imprecatory psalms, psalms that pronounce a curse on somebody. And when you have this imprecatory kind of feeling in you, you release it. And but you also understand that as you release it, this is like you are releasing it to the one who has the power to take care of the situation. And that, of course, is the Lord. So when you have these angry feelings, God has given you some references, some things to say. And it's like God gets right to the chase. You feel like this, don't you? Yes, I do feel like this. I do feel like this. I do feel like this sometimes. Maybe it's not about someone who's close to you, but it might be about someone that is, you know. And when we do think about some of the injustice that we see, we are right to be angry in this. We are right to be angry. You know, so if you have a problem with praying a prayer like this, if you have a problem with praying a prayer like this, if you have a problem of being angry, I suggest the book of Jonah. Because when we get to the last chapter of the book of Jonah, we see that Jonah is angry with God because God is merciful. So how is God merciful? Jonah understood the Ninevites. Jonah understood the empire of Assyria. Jonah understood all of the kinds of cruelty that they had expressed toward the people they conquered. And Jonah was concerned that when he preached the word of God that does not return void, if he preaches the message of God, the God of all grace and mercy, just may not do what Jonah really wants him to do to the Ninevites, which is wipe them out and let them be consumed. That's the way Jonah feels. And we know, you've heard the story. Jonah ran from God. Jonah got swallowed by a fish. Jonah got vomited up on a shore. Jonah did go to Nineveh and preach. And guess what happened? The Ninevites were touched by the gospel. And what did God do? He spared the city for a space of a century and a half. Now, Nahum, another book in the Bible, shows that Nineveh eventually went back to its cruel and wicked ways and was eventually wiped out. But it took 150 years. But at the end of Jonah, we see that Jonah is angry with God. And the Lord still speaks to him. Do you do right to be angry? And Jonah says, I do right to be angry, even unto death. He said, I'm so angry, you could strike me dead right now. So the Bible is like an amazing book that way. And the Psalms is the collection of prayers and singing that we do. So this Psalm 109 is actually addressed in those little type at the top of the, right before verse 1, he's saying, this is to the chief musician. So maybe this wasn't such a private exchange before God. It said, we're going to write a angry song. We're going to write a slashing song, a slash and burn song, because that's what we want to happen. Is that interesting? This is the God of all grace giving us space to be human beings, and he understands the thorns and the thistles and the kind of agitations that have entered in because of the fall of man in the garden. We just didn't know. Adam and Eve had no idea what they were setting loose into humanity, and here we are with these things, and God is saying, here you go, here you go. I know you're going to feel like this every now and then, so just use the words that I give you. Much better if you use the words I give you than to sort of craft your own kind of cursing. So how does the psalm end? How does the psalm end? It says this, I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth, verse 30. Yea, I will praise him among the multitude, for he shall stand at the right hand of the poor and save him from those who condemn his soul. So that's the conclusion of the matter. God is there at the right hand, even after, and we will greatly praise him even after we're angry. So we started the ball rolling here on our discussion of Psalms today. What kind of feelings do you have? And let's see what Pastor Sturge has to say right now. Where is he going to land in the spectrum of feelings?
I love? I love that Psalms shows us that we can be very real with God. And I think that's really what you're saying, Pastor Steve, that we can be transparent with God because he already knows what's going on inside anyway. And for us to just pent up those feelings and pent up that anger and then try to be outwardly a good Christian and when we need to release this to God because he can handle it. Like you said, God can handle it. People can't, maybe. Maybe I shouldn't be telling this to my wife or my kids, but God can handle. That's why he says that David said, pour out your complaint before God. Pour out your heart before him. And you know what I think God does? I think he takes that prayer and he directs it and he filters it in a way that he answers it according to his wisdom. Maybe he doesn't destroy the ruler right away,
yeah.
You know, like I thought of Solomon, you know, and David. So David had these enemies, these guys that while he was the king, they seemed like they got away with murder. But in time, during Solomon's reign, one after another, God dealt with them.
That's but true.
It wasn't in David's time. It wasn't in anyone else's time. It was in God's time. So, but the psalm I love, and I was thinking about it that while you were speaking, is Psalm 73 with Asaph, who wrote many psalms, and he was a song leader. Asaph was a worship leader, and I just pictured Asaph, you know, he's, again, in this psalm, he's pouring his heart out to God, and he's being very transparent. He said in Psalm 73, 2, "But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." You know, it's one thing to be envious at people that prosper and they do it legally and they do it according to the book and they're hardworking businessmen. But what about the prosperity of the wicked? What about a crooked politician that's making all this money on the side? Well, he said, "I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, for there are no bands in their death and their strength is firm. And they are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore," and then he continues to go on, "pride compasses them about as a chain. Violence covers them as a garment." It's just amazing how the Psalms are so poignant in the way they describe evil. They describe people that are evil and how it was affecting Asaph in his emotions. You know, he said, "Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They're corrupt. They speak wickedly. They set their mouths against the heaven." And then if you go further down, you go for verse 13, he says, "Truly, I've cleansed my heart in vain." Like, I'm being a good Christian here. I'm going by the book. And these guys are getting away with hell. They're getting away with hell, and I'm living according to the word of God. I'm being as godly as I can, and yet I feel like I've cleansed my heart in vain for no reason. I've washed my hands in innocency. What do I get for all this? All day long I've been plagued and chastened every morning. And so he was pouring out his complaint to God personally. And then further down, he said this, "When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me," verse 16, "until I went into the sanctuary of God, and then I understood therein." That is one of the greatest benefits of going to church. You could have a day from hell, and you're right where Ezra was that day. And yet it says he goes to church, he goes into the sanctuary, and then everything was made clear to him. And he goes on to say how they were brought down into destruction. Verse 21, "My heart was grieved." And then in verse 22, this is beautiful. I said, "I was so foolish. I was so foolish. And I was so ignorant. I was like a beast before you, God." And I just picture Ezra just saying, "God, what was I thinking? What was I thinking, God? Of course this is going to happen to the evil people, but what about me?" And verse 23, "Nevertheless, I am continually with you, God. You have holding me by my right hand." Here comes the comfort, right? There's the complaint. But then there's the comfort, which is total mercy. Like you said about David, complete mercy. "I was a beast before you, nevertheless." What a great word that is, nevertheless. That is a grace word. "Nevertheless, I am continually before you. You have holden me by my right hand, and you shall guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to glory." There's the release. And as you've said earlier, I remember in a couple of programs that you did on Psalms, this was David. Most of David's Psalms there was a complaint in the beginning, but at the end there was praise, there was thanksgiving, because somewhere in the middle of that, God spoke to him, and he got it right. He got God's viewpoint on it.
You're listening to The Grace Hour. Welcome online. 20 minutes in, another 38 minutes to go on the program today. You could call us and share your thoughts at 1-800-338-7060 or at 410-483-3700. Call us today We'd love to hear from you. You can, of course, post your comments if you're watching Facebook Live or YouTube Live. We put that those comments show up here for us to see, and we do have a couple, Deanna watching, and also John Green. Thanks for greater grace. Thank God. Yes, and thank you, Lord, says Madeline Johnson. Great thoughts there. We're going to continue this discussion on Psalms. Let me remind you, if you're listening, that this is Wednesday, and it's a great evening to be in church. Pastor Sturge mentioned Psalm 73, and at a certain point here, when I went to the sanctuary, then I understood the end of the wicked. So if you want to come tonight and understand something, this is the place. Greater Grace Church is the place. Our address is 6025 Moravia Park Drive. That is in the city of Baltimore. Our zip code here is 21206. And so I know that that zip code's important for those who use the navigational devices in their vehicles. So plug in that address, 6025 Moravia Park Drive, 21206 is the zip code. And come on out tonight at 7 o'clock. There'll be some singing and, of course, a message from the Word of God and lots of fellowship. We have a cafe here. You could come early and get something to eat and a cup of coffee and then enjoy a great service here with a kids program, junior teens, junior church, and nursery program. If you have infants under one, we even have a parents' room, mother's room, but I often see men in there, fathers holding their babies in there. So it's a parents' room. So you can watch the service in a soundproof environment. You know, you can hear the service, watch the service, but people can't hear your baby if they get a little fussy. So come on out tonight to our church service. It's one of our biggest attended services, actually. People come around to check us out, trying to get through the week. That's amazing. All right, so Psalms, what are your thoughts? We'd like to hear your thoughts on what your favorite psalm is, what a psalm does to help you. Pastor Sturge was saying that, have you ever felt forgotten? And if you felt forgotten, what psalm would you pray? Well, the psalm that I would pray is one that I've talked about, I think, a couple of times, and that's Psalm 13. And Psalm 13 begins with David, like, really, you know, just having an issue with God. He has an issue with his Savior, with his Lord. How long will you forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? There's the thing. David is not getting, he's sensing that God is not really talking to him at this point. He's communing with his soul, and he realizes that's a dead-end street. How long shall my enemies be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, Lord my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemies say I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. Now that's the thing. Then everything changes. I have trusted in your mercy. I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. So if you feel forgotten, you can go to Psalm 13 and you could ask God, where are you, God? Where are you? I'm sure you prayed that prayer before. Where are you, God? Psalm 10 is another one like that. Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide yourself in the times of trouble? The wicked in his pride does persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices they have imagined. Those are prayers. Again, where are you, God? Those are the kinds of prayers that are prayed. Psalm 22, Jesus tapped into the reality of this one. Wow. He did. Maybe they covered it yesterday in the lamentation discussion, because it is a lamentation. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me? And from the words of my roaring, the pain is there. He's spilling out his pain. Jesus quoted this while he hung on the cross. So it could have been. This is another one that's given to the chief musician. I wonder what that chief musician thought when he got these words. What do you think? We're singers. Me and Pastor Sturge are singers. We sing. Yeah, we've been doing it for a long time. And so we've sung a lot of songs, a lot of laments, a lot of old sad songs, a lot of happy, joyful songs, a lot of songs, you know, that, you know, what is it? Why me, Lord? What did I ever do? Those kind of things. We sing those kind of things. But what do you think?
I'm so glad you mentioned, because I was thinking this morning about, I was thinking that the songs that I enjoy the most growing up and just in my life are songs that tell a story. Songs that are it's a true story. A true story, like almost like a ballad, but a song that speaks not just of, you know, some music you can't even understand. I won't even go into that, but it's not even music to, and for me, it's not music. But I can see, I see the Psalms as telling the humanness of these psalmists, of the they were so human, and yet they were anointed. They were human. They had their problems, but there was always a great ending to the song. Usually there was a great end. Not always, but usually there was a great ending to that song.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Let's see. Let's think about this. Usually the conclusion of the matter is that God is on the throne. He is worthy of praise. He reigns, and we can live in the fact that he is the one who's in control. It's just that we recognize that he has given us place and space to express the feelings of being in the midst of a turbulent situation. That's the important thing to understand. That's why I think we're having this kind of discussion this week on the Psalms and about how we feel, because we can't deny these things. I think it's better to sort of identify things, put a finger on it, or put God's finger on it, and put a verse with it, and let the verses speak to you about these feelings. Match the feelings with the verses, and I think you'll find that the answers for your life are much... Well, these are eternal answers, obviously. These are eternal answers for us. And we want to give you some ammunition. Not ammunition? Maybe we shouldn't use that word right now. But resource. There we go. Resources and provision. That's it. Resources and provision.
Yeah.
You know?
So I was thinking of a song while you were talking. The song, it's called Blessings, by Laura Story.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And it's such a raw song in a way.
That's right.
You know, but why do we love it? Why does it? Because it's so raw. Because it says, no, God's not always, your life isn't always going to be happy and easy. And maybe the blessings are going to come from the sorrows. And maybe tears are part of the blessing, you know? That's what I mean when we're talking about these songs. In the Bible, they're raw, but yet this is how we get to know God, right?
It's true. It is.
This is how we get to know him.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no other way. There's no way around it. But
yeah, because when we think about, let's talk about the scribes, the Pharisees, and what they were doing. We know that they were in particular focused on the book of the law, the books of the law, which is Moses' books. And we know that, you know, there's at least one psalm that we know is attributed to Moses, but there may be a couple of others in there also. But when we think about it, when we think about those people, writing these things and fellowshipping with the Word of God, not fellowshipping with it. That's the scribes and the Pharisees. Jesus labeled them as hypocrites and vipers because they weren't fellowshipping with the Word of God. The Word wasn't life to them, and with the Word not being life to them, they had a hard time seeing Jesus for who he was, because here's the walking, living Word of God in front of them. And he still is the walking, living Word of God in his perfect humanity on the throne of heaven. And, you know, we could say that Psalms were written for the congregation. They were brought to the congregation. They were given to the congregation to speak to them and for them to meditate upon in their singing, so that the worker, you know, didn't have portable Bibles, didn't have audio Bibles back then, didn't have, you know, Christian radio back then, didn't have a way to like broadcast these things. You had to learn a song, put it in your heart, and sing it while you were at the plow, or while you were like, you know, well, Jesus and his father, I mean, on his earthly, the earthly man in his household, Joseph. They were carpenters, stone workers, skilled craftsmen. So what did they sing as they prepared whatever they prepared? You know, those kind of things. So that's a good thing. 1-800-338-7060, toll-free number you could call and share your thought on a psalm, 410-483-3700. That's a local number. You could use it. Also a worldwide number. Jean-Luc, hi, pastors. Excellent subject. Commentary is one of my favorites. Is Psalm 139. For the main and only operator of every blessing toward us is none but God himself, from verse 1 to 18. And the well-known conclusion is still himself toward my heart, thought, and way of life. Awesome praising psalm. Yeah, we could transition to that kind of talk, you know, because really, what do the psalms give us? They give us the great praises that we can lift to the Lord. So, Pastor?
Yeah, it's Jean-Luc, I was thinking the same psalm as well earlier, because it's a psalm about the inside. It's a psalm about the inside. And we heard at the Eurocon last week, Pastor Schauer's message about the cup and how we spend our whole lifetime keeping the outside clean, but then the inside is dirty, it's filthy, it's corrupt, it's empty maybe. And yet God says, he that made the outside made the inside also. And if you read Psalm 139, it starts off with, Lord, you know. You've searched me and you know me. The Pharisees knew the outside of the cup. They could tell you all about the outside of the cup. But David could tell you about the inside of the cup. And, you know, it's interesting. Who wrote the Psalms? It was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit moved these psalmists to write the Psalms. And in 1 Corinthians 1 or 2, I believe it says, what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man that's in him? And we are so deep that what David was writing in Psalm 139 is, God, you know me like no one else knows me. You know my down sitting. You know my uprising. You understand my thought afar off. And I don't know, it's such a beautiful Psalm 139, because it's all about God knowing us. God knows me. He knows everything about me. He knows the word, the next word I'm going to speak. And not only is he all-knowing, but in verse 7, he's everywhere present. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? And it's beautiful. I love that Psalm 139.
Well, this answers, I think, you can answer, this can answer you too. The Psalm, it answers something, answers the what we talked about earlier about feeling forgotten. Because toward the end of the psalm, it says, how precious are your thoughts toward me, O God? How great is the sum of them? If I should start counting them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. So you can see this, that, you know, they are more in number. They are more in number than the sand. The thoughts that God's toward us are thoughts of peace and not of evil. That's a prayer of proclamation by Jeremiah, who knew pain, knew lamentation very well. And then here we see this psalm, David is writing to us saying, you know, God, you are thinking about me all the time. But wait a minute, didn't the other psalm said, you know, why have you forsaken me? It's like, okay, so we can feel this way. This is the honesty of the psalms. We can feel this way. We can tell God that we feel this way. And then we come to the other conclusion. We just got to keep reading through the psalms. Like you said, you do this pretty regularly. I do it too. I regularly read through the psalms in a month. So I think that is what we think about. So is this a caller there? Okay. So just a comment. This is from Thea, Psalm 77. I will remember the works of the Lord. I will meditate. Okay. Yeah, that's true. Remembering the works of the Lord and meditation. But now we do have a call. We do have a call. We're keeping it in the family.
Who is that? Name looks a little familiar.
I think it's your sister. It's Jenny from Massachusetts.
It's a not so secret admirer.
There you go.
I'll pay you later.
Good, I can use it, Serge. Oh boy, both of you, this has been a rich topic this week, and I think many of us, Pastor Steve, I think you mentioned that you go through the Psalms regularly.
Yeah, five a day.
And,
five a day.
I would say you do then, but it's like we could read them like over and over again throughout a whole lifetime, and we'll always find something new. And but what I was thinking about was, number one, I don't think I could ever pick a favorite psalm, because they're all so wonderful. They all have a message. But I think two psalms that I really love are Psalm 91 and Psalm 107. And Psalm 91, I love because of, you know, there's such an emphasis on the protection, the provision, even prosperity in the presence of God. And it's a very stabilizing psalm, calming. It's beautiful. But I love Psalm 107. I hope I can put into words what I'm thinking. I love it because it shows four different groups of people in big, big trouble. And so four times, and I think I was just looking at it while you were speaking. One group wandered in the wilderness in a solitary desert track, and they were fainting. They were like wanderers. They had wandered maybe from the paths of the Lord. And but then it says they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And then it goes on to show how he took care of them. Once they cried to him, how he took care of them and redeemed them, delivered them from out of their distresses, but then just seemed to redeem the whole situation. And then the second group is some sat in darkness in verse 10, in the shadow of death. And says, because they had rebelled against the words of God. So outright rebellion against the word of God. But the Lord, in his mercy, in verse 12, bowed down their hearts with hard labor. There was none to help. But verse 13, they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. And then it goes on to say how he provided for them. The third group was 17. Some are fools made ill because of the way of their transgressions, and are afflicted because of their iniquities. And they draw near to the gates of death. But they too cried to the Lord in their trouble. Maybe these were people who had trouble with some kind of an addiction. I'm not so sure. But whatever the cause was, the Lord heard their cry and delivered them out of their distresses. And after every one of these groups, these are the first three, it says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and loving kindness and his wonderful works through the children of men. And then the last group in 23 is, it seems to be people that were all caught up in business and making money. But it says, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. But then the Lord commands and raises up the stormy wind. And so then they are at their wit's end because they look, it looks like they're going to perish. And, but then verse 28, they cry to the Lord in their trouble and he brings them out of their distresses. He hushes the storm. Like Pastor Sturge said in Psalm 73, how the Lord delays. We can pray and pray. He'll bring down the wicked, but he delays because he knows what his perfect timing is to bring them down, that it's the best time. And so they cry out to the Lord. He delivers them. And then they're glad because of the calm. But Pastor Stephen, Pastor Sturge, what I love is the last verse. It says, whoso is wise will observe and heed these things, and they will diligently consider the mercy and loving kindness of the Lord. And I think that that is a prevailing theme amongst the Psalms, is mercy. And this is so wonderful because we can all fit into one of those categories, maybe not all of them, but at least one of them, if not more, at various times of our lives. And it just, it's like we would be wise to consider how merciful, how limitless his mercy is, and how if we simply, as both of you mentioned, we cry out to the Lord for help, that he is so willing to deliver. And boy, if anything gives a glad heart, it's the mercy of God. And, yeah, I guess that's, I'm sorry. I hope I didn't preach, but.
Oh, no, no, Jenny, that's it. That's it. It's, you know, just going back to the beginning, these Psalms are a picture of our humanity, depending upon his omniscience, omnipotent loving kindness. And if it wasn't for his mercy, if it wasn't for his loving kindness, if it wasn't for his compassion, we would be consumed. We would be consumed.
Yeah.
And we all know it, don't we?
We do. And you know, I think David knew it. I think David knew it, Pastor Sturge, more than anybody. It's my conviction that he will be the prince of the millennium because God so loves those that trust his character enough to receive mercy from him when they have just, I mean, done horrendous things like David did. And, but that he loves them that love his mercy. And you know, that Psalm, Pastor Sherry, that you read in Psalm, I think it's in Psalm 147, 11, it says, he takes no pleasure in the legs of a man, and he delights not in the strength of a horse, but his delight is in those that hope in his mercy.
Wow.
Hey, I'm a candidate. I'm a candidate to delight the Lord.
Count us in too, Jenny.
That's amazing.
Hey, you know
thank
what?
Thank you so much.
You know what, Jenny? The reason why we love the Psalms so much is because we need them so much.
That's it.
That's why.
You're right. That's the truth.
That's why we read five a day.
Yep.
Well, that's just a Billy Graham model. That's the way I learned that from Billy Graham. Reading a Billy Graham book, he would read a chapter of Proverbs a day and five Psalms. It's a good pattern.
You could get
into Bible reading that way pretty quick, you know, if you get the read the Psalms first. I like to read the Psalms first and then I read a chapter of Proverbs and then I can read other parts of the Bible with a different kind of mindset. Well, we got other callers. Jenny, thank you for being with us today.
Thank
you for your comments.
Thank you.
You're listening to the radio? No, you're not listening to the radio. Old habits die hard. You're listening to the Grace Hour online today. I just wanted to comment here. Belinda said Psalm 27. She turned us to that psalm. And what I like in this psalm is the house of the Lord. The Bethel, the house of God, Jacob wrestled with God all night. Jacob had a dream of God, great ladder, angels descending, and then he said, I am in the house of the Lord. So that's the great thing, thinking about that the beauty of the Lord, I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and in times of trouble I hide in his pavilion, and in the secret of his tabernacle he shall hide me. The secret of his tabernacle shall hide me, and he shall set me upon a rock. That's the thing. We can run to the house of the Lord We can run to the house of the Lord when we feel uncovered in the midst of a storm, and we can find rest and protection in that. Thanks, Belinda, pointing that out to us. Okay, let's go to Baltimore, and let's let Harry have his say. Harry, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, hi, Pastor Steve.
We can hear you. Go ahead.
You can hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm driving. I just want to say praise God. Thank you for the beginning of this week and speaking about the Psalms. And wow, what a morning, what afternoon, rather. Jenny's songs of deliverance, she was what Jenny was saying and what you guys were saying. I guess what I say, mine was Psalm 56, in God I will praise his word, you know? Like the word of God is our songs. And when we speak about the song of songs, you know, we're speaking about the Lord, and he put that new song in our heart. And yeah, the scripture say in 119, his word is our song. And wow, what a life, you know, what a life of praise, you know, we can praise him. And I was just thanking you and thanking God for the broadcast today and what you guys are saying. Praise God.
All right. Amen. Thank you, Harry. All
Thanks
right.
So
Be
much,
safe
Harry.
On the road there. Here's a comment here from Pastor Gary, Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Yeah, God will bring you out of the storm, give you a place
That's
to
great.
Stand above it all. And on the phone now is from Baltimore, Oretta. Oretta, we're talking about the Psalms. What do you got to say?
Pastor Steve, good afternoon. Pastor Sturge, I love you all. Pastor Steve, all the Psalms are mine. I mark off every Psalm in my Bible. You should see my Bible, Pastor Steve. I sing the Psalms. I pray the Psalms. I talk the Psalms. Every morning, the Psalms.
It's good.
Psalm 91, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will serve the Lord. He's my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. And I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. Servants come at my strength. My help coming from heaven, the maker of heaven and earth. Let me tell you something. I love the Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, my great shepherd, my chief shepherd, my bishop and overseer of my... I love the Psalms. I love the scriptures. I love Jesus. I love you all. Have a blessed day.
Thank you.
Thank you, Aurelia.
Hey, I just think she wrote her own Psalm right there. Play that back sometime today, Aurelia, and you can write it down. That was like, really, that was, what do you call them? Exaltation, a praise, just a little praise burst there for her there, because that's a great thing.
Thank you, Aretta. Hey, I got a, Cody, can you scroll down? There was one there by Dave. He just sent an earlier. Yeah, though I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil. Much pain today, much weariness, struggling to make it through. You know what? Dave, you made me think of Psalm 23, probably the most famous psalm in the whole Bible.
Yeah, really.
I think more people universally know this psalm than any other psalm. And Pastor Steve, why do you think that is? Why do you think Psalm 23 is such a popular psalm?
Well, let's think about it. Well, we've been taught that perhaps David wrote this in maybe his most desperate time. We think of Bathsheba time as the most desperate time, but we know that he confessed that, and we know that he was hunted by Saul. That was desperate, but I believe the teaching is that David was given this psalm when he had been driven from the throne by the conspiracy of Absalom. So his own son had driven him away and conducted this conspiracy, this coup d'etat, so to speak, to take the throne away from David, his father. And so I think that's part of it. But just the statements of fact here that we have, the Lord is the shepherd. He leads me to green pastures, still waters. Like there's not a lot of abstraction here. This is like real thing. What kind of Lord do we have? He's a shepherd. And if we know anything about shepherds are looking for green pastures and still waters. for their sheep. And those are the declarations that are early. But then it talks about the restoration, the being led, and why does he do that? And I just think the valley of the shadow of death is a place that we all find ourselves in. We do find ourselves in that kind of thing. We are in the valley of the shadow of death. I mean, really, the world is the valley of the shadow of death, we could say it. I mean, some places are brighter than others, but someplace in the world, someone is dying. I mean, that's just the truth of the matter. People are dying every day, so there is a shadow of death.
Yes.
And then just the other thing, what he prepares the table. You know, it's just a very, you know, it's very direct, very short words all the way through it. It's very important theology, but it's not like academic, scholastic, or high-minded. It's just like, this is the way it is. This is who God is. And I think this is the first time that we read. We know that Joseph was something of a shepherd, and we know that Moses was something of a tender of sheep before he saw the burning bush. So we understand that those two leaders in the Old Testament were people who dealt with flocks. And then we get to this part here. We find out who God declares himself to be, the shepherd. So that's what I think.
I agree. I think we're sheep. We're vulnerable.
That's it.
And we're vulnerable. We need a shepherd.
And we don't have claws.
We need a shepherd.
And sharp teeth either. That's the whole thing. Like sheep have very little defense mechanisms. You know, in fact, they have, if they get too woolly, they can get caught on anything. They can be, you know, stuck in a thorn bush and everything. All right, so let's go to Nick in Baltimore. Nick, go ahead. You got a minute or two.
Hey,
go ahead.
I guess I heard you guys speaking about that we are in the valley of the shadow of death, and I believe that you're right. I think a lot of the times today, people don't even realize like the spiritual warfare that goes around them. Oftentimes, we are limited to what we see, what we feel, what we hear, and what we touch. So when you're limited by those factors, you know, it's hard to take into account what goes on around you, you know, what Satan might be doing or what God might be doing in your life. And I guess in order to, my main point really was kind of just share this psalm that I read one day. I was really brokenhearted. I realized, like, man, like, this world is not what it's cracked to be, you know. And it's Psalm 35, verses 15 through 18. And it says, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry for help. The face of the Lord is set against those who do what is evil, to remove all memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is near the brokenhearted, and he saves those crushed in spirit."
Wow.
Beautiful.
That's great. Thanks. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So
thanks,
happy.
Nick.
Awesome.
Thanks for having
great
me, guys.
Thoughts, all right. Buddy. Great thoughts.
Great thoughts. All right. Dominique here has posted something here. Dominique from France on the end of Psalm 139. But this one does not have a happy ending. It seems like at the very end he's saying, "Spare me, Lord. Spare me, Lord," at the end of that. You know, he's expressing his suffering, and you just leave the answer like right there. There's no conclusion of the matter. Let me alone. Let me alone, he's almost saying. Let me alone. He's gone back and forth through this psalm. He's saying, you know, "I've said these things. Remove your stroke from me. I'm being consumed by your hand. Your rebukes are hurting me. Hear my prayer, O Lord." And then he says, "Spare me that I may recover strength." Just let me alone a little bit. It's like, could we say that to God? It seems like we could say that to God.
Yeah.
Let me alone.
I think, Hebrews 12?
Mm-hmm.
"Despise not the chastening of the Lord."
That's right.
Like, aren't you really saying, "God, okay, that's enough. I don't want any more." And, you know, I just heard the other day somebody had talked, I think it was Pastor Ben, when he had spoken to Richard Warmbrand way back in California.
Yeah.
And Richard Warmbrand said to him, he said, "After I got out of, at the end of prison," he said, I had suffered so much that this is what I said to God, "Leave me alone. I've had enough. I just leave me alone." And God understands that, right?
That's true.
God totally understands that.
Really? Okay. that's great. Thank you, Dominique. Virginia in Baltimore. Go ahead. You're on the Grace Hour. We got a couple minutes.
Hello. I think you're talking to me.
I am.
Yeah, okay, good. Yeah, I'm cooking my pasta and sauce right now, but it took a second because, like, the verses at the beginning you were reading about, you know, God, we pray to God and to avenge us from our enemies.
Uh-huh.
And I was just thinking, it is so good that we can pray to God who knows all things, because, like, we live in the day when there's so much deception.
Yes.
I mean, there always was, but we don't even know really, you know, what's going on. And we can just trust that when we turn it over to God, that he's going to do what needs to be done. So I was just, you know, so glad in God's wisdom what he's given us in his word.
I think that's the point. That's the point, yeah. I was trying to make, and that's why I come to that psalm. Thank you, Virginia. We're about out of time, but I mean, that's the point I come to in that psalm, Psalm 109, that, you know, these are thoughts that we could really express, and God knows that we have them, and he's given shape to them. So that's good. I really am thankful for the shape of things that God gives us, the forms of prayer that he gives us to use. And there's nothing that says, you know, it says, God says, avoid vain repetition. If you don't have things to say, then why don't you just take the word of God and say it, right?
Yes.
That's a good thing. All right, friends, thanks, Pastor Sturge. We've come to the end of our program today. We're going to have, again, let's just remind people who are listening that there'll be a church service here at our campus tonight at 6025 Moravia Park Drive. That church service will start at 7 p.m. We're in Baltimore, if you're wondering, 6025 Moravia Park Drive in Baltimore. It'll begin at 7 o'clock with some singing and, you know, a great message from the Word of God. Hope that you can be with us. And if you are new, come on up and introduce yourself to us. We'd love to talk to you and say, hey, you were listening to the Grace Hour and I came out tonight. It'd be great. We'd love to have you with us any Wednesday night. Every Wednesday night we have a midweek church service. And remember, Grace Hour archives, if you missed the program, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, iHeart, Pandora, Audible, Google, Stitcher, all of those things are places where you can find the Grace Hour now. And gracehour.org, of course, YouTube, Facebook, Live, they're all there. Friends, thanks for being with you. For being with us. And Pastor Sturge, thanks for being with me. And I'm Steve Anderlonis. Cody Walker has been our engineer today. Thanks, everyone. Have a great afternoon.